Town-gown relations can be tough for any college, and it's harder still when that school is growing and changing the fabric of the surrounding neighborhoods. At Drexel University in Philadelphia, a massive development plan has neighbors especially anxious. Keystone Crossroads contributor Jim Saxa offers this story about the debate around one of the biggest university expansions in Pennsylvania.
As dusk descends over this leafy, middle-class corner of West Philadelphia, a small crowd of neighbors gather at an outdoor potluck. The diverse group of retirees and young parents trade gossip and grilling tips until Blaise Tabia stands up on a park bench.
Everybody who's here who is not a member of Paladin Village Civic Association is deputized as one tonight. You're welcome to participate in the vote.
This is the June meeting of the Paladin Village Civic Association, and Tabia is the outgoing president. During his time with the group, the neighborhood has changed dramatically. There's been a flood of development and a rash of new student apartments. Most of the blame gets attributed to nearby Drexel University, where the student population has more than doubled in the last 20 years.
Paladin Village's relationship with Drexel has been problematic over at least the past 50 years or so.
And now this tension is growing, as the university is working with developers to cultivate a massive new tech-focused business district, a kind of Silicon Valley on the Schuylkill. If all goes according to plan, this could bring at least 10 new skyscrapers to the area and double the number of jobs. Tabia likes that the city's thriving, but
our neighbors, my neighbors, would like this neighborhood to stay the way it is as much as possible.
This is not a new debate in West Philadelphia. About 20 years ago, a similar dynamic played out a few blocks away in the neighborhoods next to the University of Pennsylvania. As part of a renewal plan, Penn boosted public safety, supported local schools, encouraged staff to buy homes nearby, and patronized local businesses. And it worked. Property values in the neighborhood more than doubled. But the African American population dropped in half, and critics called it gentrification.
You know, I sincerely hope that it's not the future of this neighborhood.
Tobia has good reason to worry that Drexel will follow in Penn's footsteps. John Fry, now Drexel's president, led Penn's redevelopment effort, and he says his overall strategy remains the same.
A lot of that is absolutely the same, and I think that worked well at Penn, and I think we've been able to refine it and tailor it so that it works well at Drexel in a different set of neighborhoods.
But despite similar policies and a much larger development plan, Fry says things will be different this time around.
Well, I think these are very different neighborhoods. I think if you take a look at the Spruce Hill neighborhood, which is immediately west of Penn, its configuration is very different.
But the prospect of thousands of new white-collar jobs close by is already driving up property values near Drexel. And that includes not just Tobias' middle-class neighborhood, but a few very poor ones as well. So the question becomes, what can be done to ensure that the people in those neighborhoods benefit from the development boom? James Wright is a leader at the People's Emergency Center, a nearby nonprofit that supports vulnerable West Philly residents.
And so the idea isn't to just keep it what it is, but the idea is that as things increase, that the people that are here now will not feel a sense of displacement socially and physically.
The trick is how to do that. Cities across the country have been grappling with this question, and there's no silver bullet answer. Like most cities, Philadelphia doesn't have a strategic plan for managing growth. So instead, it falls to community groups to fight for themselves. Near Drexel, a few neighborhood organizations negotiated a community benefits agreement with Drexel's largest development partner, Brandywine Realty Trust. It gives about $3 million over 5 years to help maintain the area's affordability. Is it enough? Again, James Wright.
Absolutely not. Nowhere near enough.
Wright says Brandywine should provide more to help residents deal with the expected rent hikes and property tax increases. But he recognizes the developer's perspective, too.
They say, well, we shouldn't be the ones to try to bear the whole burden for preserving this community because they're not the only developer in the space. And that's very true.
These sort of nuanced positions are not uncommon in this situation. As much as some neighbors may fear new development, they recognize the potential good in it and they don't really want to block it. And even if they are worried about the neighborhood becoming too expensive, they've been reluctant to do things that would help stop that from happening. For example, the community groups have made it harder to build the kind of dense apartment complexes that can help keep real estate prices down. That's because the real worry for residents is that of change itself. People who wonder, 10 years from now, if their neighborhood will still feel like home. For Keystone Crossroads, I'm Jim Saxa.